All right. Behind the Barricade with Andrew Varela. Hello, everyone. I am Andrew Varela. I am playing Javert. Oh, God, this guy's loud. I am playing Javert. Oh, God, they're just loud. I play Javert on the 25th anniversary tour of Les Miserables. And Behind the Barricade is just a look inside to what we're doing back here and who we are and what kind of foolishness takes place. With me today, Sarah Shahinian. I'm checking the name because you always make fun. I always say Shahanian.
Yeah.
Sarah Shahanian. And we're going to go ahead and just see what she's up. Now, one of the reasons why she's here is that this is her final week in the show. She's been with it since the beginning. And it's always nice to see, what people's experiences have been with the show because, you know, how many people are in the show?
In the cast, I think there's like 37, 38.
In like total, the company's like 70 people or something?
Yeah, 70 or 80.
So that's a lot of stuff to talk about here.
Yeah.
And also in the jump seat, we got John Rapson. What do you play? Rapson plays a couple of cool parts. He's okay. And we'll talk to him another day here. But tonight we're making it about Sarah and just seeing a little bit more about who she is. And because you actually were, at the first rehearsals.
I was
there the whole time.
Yeah.
And what was your take on all of it? First of all, I'm sorry. What is your association with the show?
Well, I play the young whore.
Nice. That's cool.
That's always good.
I guess it's better than playing the old whore.
Well, she's actually the crazy whore. The old whore is Bill.
What's the crazy whore?
That's the other part. The top of Paris, the two whores that fight.
What do you think you're at? Yeah, you're on my pitch. And you, which one are you?
I'm the young whore, the second.
The one that's
listen, you old bat, crazy bloody witch.
Oh, okay.
So it's the young whore and the crazy whore.
Yeah.
That's actually what we're billed as in the program. But I'm in the ensemble and.
It seems odd. I mean, what do you tell your mom?
She's so proud.
Is she? All right.
No, I mean really. How much fun is that to say? It's hilarious.
Yeah. But you're also there's a bloody whore, a bleeding whore in the show as well, right?
I think she's actually.
God, I'm weary, sick enough to drop.
Yeah, but I think she's actually the sick whore.
Oh, they call it the sick whore?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's bleeding better.
What?
I like bleeding better.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Well, he would. He's the mad boy.
Yeah. Oh, no. Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that on your thing. But you also understudy Eponine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell me about that. Do you like the role? Do you feel a kinship with...
With the young whore?
take your pick. They're both interesting. I want to know the first. No, with Eponine. I mean, do you like it?
My earliest theatrical memories, live theatrical memories. I loved movie musicals as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But Les Mis is one of the first things I remember going to see live. And, of course, Eponine is...
Oh my God! Every girl wants to be.
Yeah.
Well, now every girl wants to be Elphaba in Wicked.
Yeah.
But back in
the good old days.
Before that was
Eponine. Absolutely.
It was Eponine,
unrequited
totally.
Love. Everyone knows what that feels like.
God, about a million pimply teenage girls.
And you get. I mean, who doesn't want to sing on my own?
Aside from
you.
Yeah. No, I know it's a great. There are these roles written for belters.
Yeah.
For certain belters.
And this was one of the earliest ones. I feel one of the first like real pop songs brought into musical theater.
About the pop things. But as far as a character coming out, to me, this is like Miller's Son from
Night Music.
Yeah, it's just one of those songs where you're just kind of wondering what this girl is doing in the show. Not really. I shouldn't say that about Eponine. But all of a sudden they bust out this tune, and you're like, oh, that was the audition. I always do that.
Yeah.
Whenever I see a show or a movie, I'm like, that was the audition.
Absolutely.
Because you always know when...
And it's funny because it's that song that you're not allowed to sing at audition. It's like from the time you start auditioning.
Did you sing on my own at the audition?
For this production?
Yeah, they probably wanted it.
Yeah, well, I sang... I actually sang Stranger to the Rain at my first audition.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it's funny that you say that you mentioned A Little Night Music because I did Stranger to the Rain, and then they asked me for a second choice,
mm-hmm.
and my second choice was Miller's Son.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There you go. See, nailed it.
Do you sing
Meadowlark?
I do. I have.
That's a big one.
I don't usually sing it for auditions. It's too long.
It's too long.
It's too long and it's too much of a story.
Yeah,
you can't
tell
a story in
you can't edit
16
it well.
Bars. Exactly. But yeah, so then I sang on my own. And it's just funny. It's one of those songs that you're told when you first start auditioning, no one ever wants to hear it. No one ever wants to hear it. So then when you bring it into an audition room, you're
mm-hmm.
kind of like, am I really allowed to sing this song right
now? Yeah, do you have On My Own with you? It's like, whoa, actually I do.
Yeah.
The only people I sing it for is my mom or something like that. Right. You know? That's the only thing I want to do. I noticed that you played 80 Annie.
I did.
You've done that. That
was my
been
first
fun.
Big job.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Where did you do it?
The national tour. Cameron McIntosh.
Really?
I did. It was the London revival that starred Hugh Jackman.
Oh, yeah.
It went to then the Broadway production, which starred Patrick Wilson.
Yeah.
And then I did the first national tour.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was 80 Annie.
That's pretty cool.
It was my, like, first big break, really. It was great. And it was, I mean,
again, a similar role in that, you know, that that shouting. I mean, shouting.
I was going to say, I don't think Unrequited Love is 80 Annie's thing. She's got the opposite problem.
Yeah, but just, she has that song. She's got that. She's got that element in
it. But it's much more charactery. That's definitely. I mean, it's a belty role, but it's much more of a character voice. You're not really singing from your heart. You're just.
Is that something? Is this sort of like a story of my success? the thing with it. Oh hell! I dropped it. You can't interrupt me. I have no.
I can't say no. Belting.
Wow, nice. Yeah, belting. You know, that seems like a track of roles that you would start. You know, in your mid teens or whatever, and you know, carry it for a while. Have you been? Do you ever do any soprano stuff or anything?
Not like legit soprano. I mean, I have a light soprano voice, but it's mostly, I mean, I played Belle in Beauty and the Beast. She's got some higher stuff,
but
I mostly do the, like, leading lady belter.
What is the name?
Roles.
What is her name? Who sang Chess? You know, those high belt roles.
Judy Kuhn. She was Cosette. She was the original.
Because she could sing some. She could sing in her head voice too.
I feel like I'm in the Bernadette Peters, Sherry Renee Scott, like that kind of.
Just niche. For the record, this is the most music theater I've ever spoken.
Well, we can
in
talk about it.
No, I'm just realizing. I'm realizing that I actually remembered some of it. I do know some of the stuff.
Yeah.
But some people may not know this, but if you go to andrewvarela.com, and why wouldn't it be your homepage? You'll see that in the lower right corner, Saranya Designs is responsible for putting that wonderful page together, and I am actually here with my webmaster. How did we get started on that? Like, how did I find out that you were doing websites?
I don't even know. Maybe you looked at my website?
No, I think I looked at Cole Burden's website.
Oh, yeah.
Because you had done his.
Because I had done Cole's.
Yeah, and then we sat and we had dinner with
Susan.
We
had a nice steak dinner and
some
wine.
Yeah, nice steak dinner. We Susan showed you her design for it. And
yeah, Susan came to me with a sort of general idea of what she wanted it to look like, but actually we didn't go with that design because I did what you guys had asked, and we sort of decided that that was too Les Mis focused.
Right.
And we wanted to make it a little more general for use.
I dig it.
In the life after Les Mis.
Yeah.
It was sort of a combination of Susan's elements and my elements, and we came to a.
Yeah, I think with the recent things you've been doing, how long have you been doing websites?
I established my company, Saranya Designs, which is a combination of my first and middle name, if anyone's wondering. It's Sarah, and Anya is my middle name.
That's your middle name?
Mm-hmm.
You're Armenian?
I am.
Okay, that's
Armenian and Italian. Half Armenian, half Italian.
Wow, that's a woman that you just don't want to get involved with. That just sounds like that sounds like crazy with a weapon. I don't know, right?
It could be,
It could be.
I mean, yeah.
So you how many generations are you here? Your
from Armenia?
Yeah.
My grandparents. Well, my grandfather was born in Armenia during the genocide.
His
father came over, got enough money, and then brought his family over.
Really?
And I'm pretty sure my grandmother's parents and, like, her aunts and uncles all were there.
Killed
during
the genocide?
She's got some crazy stories. What about her uncle who hid under a pile of dead bodies?
What?
Yeah.
I think that'd be my first choice. Like, if I see a big enough pile of bodies, I'm going to drag them all onto me. Yeah, because I've seen that in a couple movies, and it seems foolproof. You know, if you can handle it.
I know,
but what if somebody's already there? What if you're, like, laying down there, and you pull a face on to yours?
Stop. I can't even.
We have to work this out.
It's a little bit funny, but it's a little bit wrong.
My family came from Cuba after the revolution, so, I mean, we're both sort of fairly refugee-ish.
Yeah.
Refugee-like.
Or at least looking for a new life, getting away from
now, Mason, do you think you could do that now? Do you think you could
come to America?
Yeah, no, but leave your country. And, like, I always think when I see videos of Kosovo, and there are always people fighting with machine guns in the streets, but they're wearing members-only jackets.
Oh,
that always struck me as, like, watching a fight in Toledo.
Can't believe it's happening
now. Watching war in, like.
Well, I'm going to Australia.
Do they have wars there?
No,
are they
just saying you're asking if I could leave my country. And
but then start over again. Did you ever think about that in, like, a place with a different language? What if you had to, like, leave here and start up again in Guatemala? Could you do it? Could you, like,
If you had to, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it that easy?
I know it's probably not easy, but yeah, if your life depended on it, of course you could. I think human instinct.
Once you survival. Find a, once you find a couple of good bars, I think you can pretty much live anywhere. Exactly. That's what you gotta look for.
But we were talking about website design.
You know what? And it's just as exciting. Go ahead.
I established my company in 2005. I had been sort of haphazardly designing. Mm-hmm. I took a couple classes in college, and I had people. I would like barter at first. You know, somebody would. Would you coach me in some, you know, piano lessons or whatever, and I'll design a website for you. It started that way, and then word of mouth and other people seeing those designs, they came to me, and then somebody finally said, "Do you have a portfolio?" And I was like, "Yes, I do."
Do you enjoy it? No. I mean, are you? Is it a lot of work? Do you find it rewarding?
Yeah, I mean, I think what I like best about it for me is that it marries that really like tech, nerdy, obsessive, compulsive side of me with the artistic side of me. And I particularly, the sites I love to do are actor sites, artist sites, you know, musicians, writers, so that it's not so cut and paste template.
Yeah, well, you have the insight of a performer, and you're taking in there. It's like, you know what, you're going to want to do this, and if you do this, this is a good place for some, you know, for candid shots, and this is a good place.
Well, it's just more, the design elements are more fun. It's not, if it's not for a business website where they're, you know, looking to show a very clean, professional something, actor sites, artist sites, you can have a little more fun with and show a little more personality and colors and fonts.
Do you find it creatively rewarding?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't get past like remembering all the passwords for everything. That's
where the obsessive compulsive side is.
Oh, I remember you came to poker once and you kept working on your computer during the poker game.
I was finishing Cole's website. That's why. That's how it happened. Yeah. Yep. I came. I was like, I just have to finish these last things and then I'll join.
Do you plan on, now that you're leaving the show, do you plan on continuing that? Is that a...
Oh, yeah, that's the great thing about it. I started the company in 2005, and I've just been able to, once I finally, that's what I was saying before, is like somebody asked me if I had a portfolio, and I was like, sure I do, and I threw one up really quickly so that they could have something to look at.
Absolutely.
But now I have a real portfolio, and it's great because, you know, people just Google web design online, and they come across my site. I have clients I've never met in person.
You don't tweet, I noticed.
I don't.
You need to tweet.
Well... I mean,
you can tweet once. Just start open a Twitter account and tweet something.
I just don't think people care if it's they don't.
But you have to have a presence. Everybody always says that. I tweet all day, and I have never tweeted that I'm crossing the street. I'm going to tweet right now that I'm going across the street, just so I can say, yeah, you're right. That's stupid.
Yeah.
No, but it's being a part of that flow of information. I think you'd find very satisfying because it's everywhere and it's constant. It's remarkable. It's really remarkable.
I'm just going to go with it's not my thing.
Okay. And scene. Thank you.
No, but I mean, I have my portfolio out there. I every once in a while I'll send out an email to friends of friends and say I'm running a special now. And I mean, I also don't want to have crazy busy business. Keeping it a maintainable amount of clients so that I can keep everyone happy and keep myself happy at the same time and not feel like I'm tied down to it.
I for one am very happy, honestly. It's been working out beautifully.
Yeah, I like your site.
And my site's pretty cool. We haven't even talked about, you are one of the only people on the road who has brought their animal companion.
It's true.
You have with
Gidget.
The Papillon. She is how old is she?
She's 5.
Oh, she's very sweet.
She is indeed.
And you couldn't have left her with anybody. You had to have her with you.
No, I could have left her. I could have left her with my mom.
Yeah.
I mean, there were options. There were people who would have loved to have her. But
how do you feel about on balance? Because I, you know, the other day, Sarah asked if Gidget could be in my room. And I said, sure, in my dressing room. But see, the thing is, I was very cool about it. But on the inside, I was giddy at the prospect of having a dog to myself, because I am the biggest dog whore you will ever see.
You also have the most time off stage.
Oh, wow. Well, you know what? That came off mean. That sounded mean. That sounded mean.
No, I mean, like, when you're on stage, it's all about you. But you have a lot of downtime when everybody else is on stage.
Yeah, the group
scene. So when you're by yourself.
No, it was great. It was great. And I was laying on the floor with her, and she, after a while, she was very interested in, I was feeding her, like, I don't know what I was feeding her, like
what are you feeding
raisins or something like that. Nothing. Is she alive? Is she okay?
Yes. She's
good. Then my work here is done. And she just curled up next to me. And to me, when a dog chooses to like lean on you, that's the best thing.
That's the best thing.
Because you're like, ah.
She's so. We say she's floppy in the morning.
Oh, is she floppy? She gets in the morning?
She like sort of sleepily gets up and literally flops all her weight on top of you. She's so cute.
Does she sleep in the bed with you?
Of course. worse.
On balance, tell me a little bit about it. I mean, has having a pet on the road been worth it?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh yeah, those, you know, I mean, it's like a little piece of home with you and somebody who's always on your side.
But having to do all the walking and all that stuff.
No, I mean it's the same as doing it at home.
Is that a pain in the butt? I don't know. Is it? I don't know. Do you enjoy walk? Do you have to like walking in order to walk a dog?
Well,
I always had a backyard.
Dog, it's not, yeah. Well, no, with a little dog, I mean, they don't need as long walks. She's only 10 pounds, so it's not like I need to walk for 5 miles a day.
Oh, so you can like walk up and down the block, like,
yeah.
How often a day?
And she also, I take her out at least 3 times
okay.
a day. She also, she's really good about her routine. Like, she knows when we're going out, she like pees right away. So
really?
If it has to be a quick one, it can be a quick one. But
do you feel like she enjoys the hotel room thing? Do you feel like she's happy?
Yes and no. I think she likes being with me. Mm-hmm. She's happy to travel with me. Like on travel days, you've never seen a more well-behaved dog.
Oh,
she's
really?
Amazing. She's so quiet in her bag.
How has the traveling been? You know, just like
really
the arrangements. Making all the arrangements that
well,
are
required. Gidget is a certified service dog.
She's a certified service dog.
Indeed.
Oh. Are you like epileptic or something?
Maybe.
we'll leave it at that. She has one of the only chlamydia dogs known.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's actually been really easy in that aspect. But she, I think she gets a little sick of traveling.
We all do.
She gets a little impatient sometimes, especially
when you're on
the road.
If you're at the airport and you need to feed her, what do you feed her?
I don't feed her. I don't feed her on travel days until we get to the hotel, so that she doesn't have to.
Oh, she
doesn't
go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Okay, I dig it. That's fine.
Usually we're traveling early in the day, and we get to the hotel by like 3 o'clock.
Have you ever had to sit next to somebody who's just put off by the fact that there was a dog there?
No, actually.
Really?
No.
I would be so delighted if there was a dog next. If there's anything.
Yeah,
next
most
to me.
People are happy.
I love
about it.
Oh yeah.
Especially because she's well behaved.
She's
quiet.
She's tiny. I mean, she's just a little thing.
Yeah.
Such a cutie. How old is she? 10 pounds.
Yep. She's 5.
Where'd you get her?
From a breeder in Arkansas. I looked up rescue at first, but I knew I wanted a Papillon, and they didn't have any. There were no Papillon rescues. But my mom rescued a Japanese Chin soon after I got.
What? What
Japanese
is that?
Chin.
What is that?
They're in the same.
It's already funny.
Exactly.
Japanese Chin.
Yeah, they're in the same sort of family as the same sort of breed as Gidget. They're small and they have like long hair, but they have a little smushed-in face.
Oh my God, perfect lead! And the other day, I was we're in Washington D.C. right now, or last week, and I was over at Washington Harbor, went up some mall someplace, and some guy walked up with two French bulldogs, and they both kind of like scurried over to the edge of the dock to look at the ducks. And they just once they checked out the ducks, they started walking on the thing. And I grabbed one and just started kissing its face. And just like terribly.
Oh, they're so cute.
Susan
those
has this
ears.
Thing. Whenever I see a dog, and I go, oh my God, and I start walking toward it. She starts going, talk to the owner. Because I come over there making
it
odds.
Too.
Do you?
Absolutely.
Do you find you're still dog crazy even though you have a dog? Really?
Oh, yeah.
Do you?
Absolutely.
Do you have any funny Gidget stories you want to impart something?
You know,
no pressure. Rapson's here to contribute.
Well, okay, this is actually funny. I when we were in California, one of our dressers was very was into healing and sort of medium communication.
That guy. Okay.
No, it was a woman.
That girl.
But she, I was talking about Gidget barking and this and that, and she was like, "Oh, well, you should find out. You should have my friend is a dog psychic. She can tell you what that's about." And I was like, oh, this is too good. So I was like, give me her information. So I emailed the woman, and she happened to be running a like $60 special for head-to-tail.
Oh, wow.
Scan.
What luck. It's only $60 to have a woman talk to you.
Well, you know what? This is exactly what I thought to myself. I said, when else in my life am I going to have
$60 that? Bucks to blow
exactly.
on it. Right, exactly. Okay.
Thank you, Les Mis. So I called her, and she did a, like, distance communication, and the best
what?
She
Wait.
Fully did.
So she didn't see the dog?
No.
She just did it on the phone?
But the best part was, this is in a little snippet into the mind of Gidget, and she hit the nail on the head with this one, which made me laugh so hard. She's like, well, I checked in with her on Thursday night, and she didn't feel like talking, and then I checked in with her again on Friday night, and I said hi. I introduced myself, and I said, hi, you know, do you think we could have a little chat tonight? And she said, well, if we must.
Did she say your dog said that?
Yes. So, and that's so Gidget, which is perfect.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know what's weird. The fact that the woman actually said it. The fact that you actually seem to be buying into it a little bit.
Well, because you know Gidget.
You don't know.
Doesn't that seem like something she would say?
Yeah, that's true.
But anyway,
you're talking that you know what your dog is thinking.
Of course.
I always think whenever, what is it, Susan, when she looks at the cat, look at something. You know, she's always like, look, she probably thinks it's a ghost. And I'm thinking to myself, the cat is probably thinking, I wonder what that spot smells like. You know, nothing like that.
But
that's
interesting
all they ever...
that you brought up ghosts, because one of the most interesting thing that the woman told us was that Gidget has an invisible friend. She has.
So this was a cost-effective psychic reading, because she found two things going on.
She said that Gidget has an invisible play friend that she calls her little brother. It's a little black and white spotted dog with a bald spot. which John and I have since we've named him Gunther.
Gunther?
Gunther.
Gunther.
Gunther and Gidget. That just seems right. She says, I feel like it's her little brother, maybe one of her littermates who passed on.
Wow.
So apparently, Gidget
Okay,
has
so your dog, ha- dog I think this friend. Woman has a little invisible playmate. I'm going for that.
No, but you know what else? The other interesting thing, aside from all that hilarious stuff that she told me, she also, like, picked up on the fact that she had broken her leg when she was a puppy. She was like, her left side is a little more,
Woman did?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I'm impressed.
So a lot of the things she started with were not like your dog thinks this.
Wait, how far was the dog? How far away was she from?
She was in California and we were in Seattle.
Is that good? I mean, is that like a good reach
for
a?
The whole thing was ridiculous, but it's still kind of
$60.
Yeah.
Shit, $60. I'll pay $60 if somebody lied to me. listen, I have a funny story. I have a funny story about animals. My sister had a cat that was peeing in the house, and she's an alternative sort over in Madison, Wisconsin. So, you know, the left of the left.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a lovely person, and she has her.
How do you really feel?
No, I love her. She's my sister.
I meant, how do you feel about the left of the left?
Oh no, I love them all. But her cat was peeing in the house, so she had a friend who was a pet psychic,
uh-huh.
and who came over, and the pet psychic's diagnosis was a past life experience.
Oh.
And I thought, up until I heard this story, that was the most absurd story I've ever heard. And I think she paid a lot more for it,
Yeah.
$60
special.
Yeah, $60 special. Rapson, Varela, tell me about what you're doing over there, man. You're being very good. I actually asked John not to talk during this, but he just seems... It's like I'm watching Oliver over in the corner there. I was like, go ahead. You can chat up a little bit if you want to say something.
Oliver,
the little, please, sir, may I have some more? You seem so sullen over there in the corner.
Not at all.
I was worried. I was worried about you.
I'm enjoying listening.
Oh, God.
I'm one of those.
Okay, here's a question. I have a list of questions, actually. Uh-oh. But what are some other shows or roles you have done or would like to do?
Well, we went through two of them already. We did Ada Wanny was my first big job right out of college. I played Belle in Beauty and the Beast.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite role in college was Trina in Falsettos.
Oh.
Love it. Never Can't wait till I'm old enough to actually play the role.
Mm-hmm.
I've done a beautiful reading of an adaptation of Picnic at Hanging Rock.
What?
Which is a Peter Weir film that was based on a Joan Lindsay novel. It takes place in Australia.
you're breaking my mind. It's like something's burning in my head.
Anyway, the point is it's a gorgeous piece of theater that we workshopped at Lincoln Center and at the O'Neill.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so that's legit.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, what else? I also did a new play called Magnetic North by Bill Donnelly, which won the New England Play Festival. I've done that in Philadelphia and New York.
You seem kind of fast-tracked into, like, new work kind of stuff. That's great.
I have done a lot of new work, but I've also done a lot of traditional stuff. I played Nellie in South Pacific.
Yeah.
I played Liesl in Sound of Music.
Liesl.
I played Louise in Carousel when I was younger.
When you did Liesl, did you have, like, a super gay Rolf?
That's no, usually, actually, I've never... he was a nice guy. He was a nice kid.
But you can't be gay and be nice?
No, the one has nothing to do with the other.
I caught you.
But I was just—I'm just thinking back. He was just sort of an average, nice guy.
Dude.
Yeah.
Well, good for him.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't really like a theater guy.
Oh, he wasn't.
Yeah.
And he was Rolf.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, there's a mad rush of the cattle cult.
It was in California. It was it was legit. Like, directed by Calvin Remsburg.
Okay.
And starring.
Who is your Maria?
Oh, Maria was Christina Saffron Ashford.
Okay.
And the captain was Norman Large, the original bishop.
Oh.
In Les Mis, it all comes back around.
It all comes back around. Yeah. It all comes back
roles
around.
That I, well, you were saying roles that I want to play.
Yeah, who do you want to play?
Oh, like Dot in Sunday in the Park.
Oh, yeah.
Mrs. Lovett, eventually.
Yeah, totally.
Those kind of roles.
Those
like,
are fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like a little offbeat leading lady. That's, I think, going to be my
niche. That's going to be great. Niche. That's cool. Yeah. I love both those shows. Yeah. I haven't done Sweeney. Never done Sweeney Todd. Okay. Yeah. Here it is. Oh, I shouldn't have hit that. 10 questions from Javert.
Uh-oh.
10 questions from Javert. What is your middle name?
Anya.
Lovely. Rapson, what is yours?
Ross.
Stupid.
I hate you.
Why am I here? Okay, just be quiet. I told you to shut up. Okay, what is your favorite chain restaurant?
Chain restaurant.
Yeah, we're on the road. We're eating at places. Where do you choose to eat when you're on the road?
Jamba Juice, Jimmy John's.
Jimmy John's, I'll give you that. But Jamba Juice?
Chipotle.
Chipotle always. There's too much food at Chipotle, and Jamba Juice is too much. It's too cold. You can't have that much cold liquid in your body.
When you're in Tempe, Arizona.
Okay. That's your favorite place in Tempe, Arizona, where we were 3 months ago?
Sure.
Really? That's all? That's you haven't eaten any place good since then?
Oh, yeah, but I try not to eat at chain restaurants.
Yeah, really? Mm-hmm. Whole Foods.
Does that count?
Oh, no, Whole Foods is good.
There
actually,
you go.
That's pretty good.
Trader Joe's.
That's
Those good. Are my favorite okay. chain restaurants.
I'll give you that. I eat in gas stations and pharmacies. That's how I do my food shopping.
That's good for you.
Yeah, I know. That's how I do it. A fictional character you'd like to have dinner with?
Ooh, right? A fictional character I'd like to have dinner with. Oh, gosh. Can we come back to that one?
Yeah, sure.
All right, I have to think about it.
Rapson? Waldo from The Warriors? Where?
Oh, that's definitely it. No, it would be Ichabod Crane.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Because sure. I've been obsessed with The Legend of Sleepy Hollow since I was 10 years old. I love that story. My parents took me to New York there on Halloween once. Like, I don't know. It was sort of like the basis for...
What do you think he would order there? Where would you take Ichabod Crane to eat? Would you take him to Jamba Juice?
I feel like I'd take him to some sort of... possibly Jamba Juice. No, he eats it. Have you ever seen the Disney movie? He, like, swallows, like, whole turkeys in single gulps, so we'd have to go to some, like, Amish buffet.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, Ichabod Crane?
Yeah, he's really thin, but he eats a lot, yeah.
Oh, God, okay. I didn't know that.
I got mine.
Well, go.
Dumbledore.
Oh, that's a good one.
Which one is that one? Is that the big, is that the fat guy?
No, that's Hagrid. That's
who's,
the giant.
Who's Dumbledore?
Dumbledore like is, like, the master. Yeah. The headmaster.
Okay, he's the guy with the beard. I thought that was Gandalf.
It is.
Okay, is it Gandalf?
Same character, different.
But that's book. Lord of the Rings.
Trilogy, yeah.
Okay, nice. I got that one. Well, why? Where would you take him to eat?
I'd let him pick. He'd take me to someplace in.
Would you go to like? Would you go to Oz and go eat someplace in over there?
Exactly.
In a train station there.
Yeah.
I haven't seen. I have to tell you. Did you read all the books? I haven't read any of them, and I've only seen two of the movies.
You fail.
I can't buy into it. I'm just kind of like,
listen, can I tell you something?
I saw the Rascals already.
No. I felt the same way when I started, and when the first movie came out, I wanted to go with my friends to see, and they were like, you are not allowed to come unless you at least read the first book. And I had protested for so long. I'm not reading this children's book. Literally, I finished it in less than 2 hours and asked for the second book.
But I was like, that's madness.
I protested for years. I was not going to read this crap that everybody was so obsessed with because I'm not good at the pop culture.
Yeah, pop culture,
and so
right.
I was like, no, I'm not reading this crap. And I literally read all, at that time when I started, the first four books were out, I read them in less than a week, all four.
You read?
Mm-hmm.
Which ones are those? Can you name all eight books?
There's only seven books. There are eight movies.
Very good. Okay, you passed that test. Well done, Padawan.
Really? Am I going to be this big of a nerd?
Yeah, go for it.
All right.
Let me try to do it.
All right.
Okay, you're going to say...
Are you going to go in order?
Of course. I'm not... What kind of loser do you think I am? Okay, you're going to say... No. You're going to say one word, and then I'm going to say the next one. Okay?
Okay.
So you're going to... You know. Okay, so let's practice.
Harry.
We can dispense with that because they all begin with that.
I just want to make sure you know.
Okay, good.
Name.
Okay, okay. Harry Potter, name? Harry Potter, and the
Sorcerer's
Stone.
All
right. Okay, good. Because that's also a Disney movie, I think. Okay. Second one is
Sorcerer's Apprentice.
And don't correct me again. Harry Potter, Harry Potter, and the
Chamber
of Horrors, Secrets.
Yeah.
Did I get it?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. The third one. Harry Potter.
Prisoner.
Of Azkaban.
Yeah. How do you spell Azkaban?
Azkaban.
All right.
Did I get it right?
Yeah.
Azkaban.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. The fourth book. Did we do that already?
No, we're on the
fourth book. Harry Potter.
Goblet.
Of Fire.
Yeah.
Okay. Harry Potter and the
Order
of the Phoenix.
Yes. You spend too much time on Twitter.
No, this is, I'll tell you what, this is actually, this proves that I've seen a lot of billboards in my life. You know, that's how you know. Okay, and then?
Number six,
Harry Potter and the? Blood Prince.
Half Moon Prince.
That's what it is, baby.
This isn't Twilight. It's
Half Blood Prince.
Oh,
Twilight.
Oh, God.
And then the last one. Are we done? We have one more.
No, the last one.
The last one is Harry Potter and the Prince of Thieves.
No.
What is the name?
Deathly
Hallows.
Yeah, Hallows.
Don't correct. You're going to bust my balls on Hallows?
Yeah.
Do you use it a lot? Hallows?
Hallows.
He does.
All Hallows Eve. It's coming up this weekend.
What is it?
All Hallows Eve.
Oh, that's Halloween.
Yeah.
Wait, that's so pretentious that you call it with the old English. Oh, I like this one. Okay, this has actually been the one I've had a lot of fun with. Okay, a skill that might surprise people.
That I have?
No, that your friends have. Yes, you.
A skill that might surprise people.
You know.
Gosh.
Like, you know, but, you know, you can you, you know.
I've trained chimpanzees.
Okay, now see, bingo, gold mine.
I was going to say water skiing, but I don't think
that's pretty impressive too, but chimpanzees. Okay, tell me about training chimpanzees.
Well, my sister is a professional equestrian, world champion.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I grew up on a horse farm.
Is she a bitch about it? You just hate hearing her stories?
No,
well, I was riding a horse.
No, not
I'm sure
at all.
She's a lovely person. I was
she's
kidding.
Actually here. I'm going to, there's a horse show.
Oh my God, is she listening to this? Did I just call her a bitch?
Yep.
I'm sure, I love it. I love professional equestrianism.
No, but so I grew up on a horse farm. My family, we've always just been around animals, loved animals, and we started working with this, there was a trainer in California who needed some work with horses for one of his films, so he approached my sister and her brother-in-law,
mm-hmm.
and so we got to know him, and he trained animals for Hollywood, so mm-hmm. And my sister and I just have always been, had an obsession with, like, chimps and mm-hmm. monkeys and mm-hmm. apes, and he had three chimps that we worked with.
Really? Mm-hmm. Now,
so we sort of trained with him, and my sister sponsored one.
How do you sponsor a chimp? Was it an alcoholic?
No.
Nice, right?
No, you take them out of the Colston Foundation. You pay, because you can't really own a chimp, because they're technically not
Well, they're
pets.
People.
Yeah, well, yeah, and they're, so you sponsor them like you would a sponsor child, like you, like a foster child.
What do they do with it?
Well, from the Colston Foundation, which is like the remnants of the space program.
What?
Yeah.
That's a real thing?
Yeah.
All the monkeys from the space program have like a foundation?
Yeah. The Colston Foundation. And so you sponsor them. Uh-huh. And he trained three of them.
What are they trained them to do what?
For film and TV. For like.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they raising these chimps?
Well, now they're too old. They've gotten too big, so they live on a preserve out
in Florida or something like that,
yeah,
right?
I think I saw
it on like National Geographic Channel or something like that. So what did you train them to do? Smoke, gamble, just gave
no,
all kinds of vices.
Just, you just get them to do, I mean, anything a human does, that's all you know, mostly it's like, you know, kissing someone. Do you know what I mean? They'll walk up and plant one.
So you spent a summer kissing chimps. I see?
Exactly.
Now we're getting to it.
No, or like, you know, working a camera or working the faucet
mm-hmm.
or, you know, they're
are these
zippering up their shirt and,
okay.
You know.
How about, did you train them not to fling feces at tourists? Was that in the list?
These
they don't.
They're much more civil.
Okay, now listen. The whole thing with the Connecticut chimpanzee eating that woman's face.
Yeah.
What did you? Because okay, now a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
This woman
like
in Connecticut had a you know a 500-pound chimpanzee that was on Xanax and it freaked out and attacked a neighbor and bit her face and fingers off. Horrible, horrible stuff. When you saw that happening, what were you thinking to yourself? Like, man, that's
well, the woman sounded
unluck-
like she was crazy.
The woman who owned the chimpanzee?
Yeah. She was giving it all kinds of drugs, first
of
all.
She was
I
doing
mean,
that.
No. And I think she was she
you
was
like
treating
sober
it like
chimpanzees.
A doll. I mean, she would like, I mean, I don't know.
Did you get the sense of that capacity for that power in that was in them?
Oh, absolutely.
When you worked with him?
They're like pound for pound, four times, five times as strong, even the babies.
So you just like, you don't piss them off? You're just kind of like, hey, it's cool,
it's
man.
We did a very...
He gets the clicker, no matter what. If he sits down, he gets
no,
the clicker.
No, I mean, they're very, you'd be surprised how much you could just talk to them and they understand. I mean, I feel like if they had the right muscles in their tongue, they would be able to speak. They just don't have physiologically the correct
build for the mechanism. There was a
But they absolutely understand what you're saying, and they're very I mean, the training method that we used was very reward based. It was not a lot of like punishment for bad. It was do this right and you get rewarded. So they just, you know, if they want that piece of chocolate cake, they'll do what you ask them.
I'll do whatever you ask me to for a piece of chocolate cake. You didn't have any weirdness or anything with him?
No, his trainer was just really good about, I mean, especially with my niece, who was very young at the time and was sort of considered their equal. He was very careful not to let her near them. Like, anytime we worked with her, she would have to stay on the other side until they got used to her presence, because she was the size that would have been threatening to them, and they would have gone after her.
Whoa,
he was very, and it was not until they acknowledged that they wanted to interact with her was she allowed to come in.
Wow.
And by that point, it was, and even then, it was at that point, he was like, Sophie, you can't, don't scream, don't do anything that's going to alarm them, because they'll think that we're hurting you, and then they'll come after us.
She could have totally screwed with you guys. Just like screaming, and monkey starts jumping on you.
Yeah, no, but it was actually a really just wonderful...
Rewarding experience. Do you keep in touch with the monkeys?
Rewarding experience. Yeah, you can't really. They're out on a preserve now. They're, you know, have a different
life.
They
don't have internet. You can't, exactly. You can't tweet.
But it was a great also just a socializing and learning respect and social interaction for my niece, too.
How long were you involved with it?
A couple years. Direct.
That's a lot of time.
Yeah, I mean, we knew them. Of course, I was sort of back and forth to New York, so I didn't spend all the time in California. But like, I was there. You know, I would go for a summer, so like 3 months at a time. And then, you know, back and forth during for like Christmas.
Did they remember you when you came back?
Oh my God!
Did they?
It's the craziest thing ever. You mean like you can't help but get overwhelmed with emotion
really?
When they recognize you.
Oh, really?
Towards you, yeah.
Did you see them when you were in California recently?
No, but there was the trainer had brought one of them over, we met them at the hotel they were staying at in New York, and she was still in her box from the plane, you know, and she could see us. She like looked through and saw my mom and I, and she started going nuts in the box, like in a good way. And she would like, as soon as we got her out, she just grabbed us both and was like,
that's
like
happy.
Doing her little happy noise and just so, and like wouldn't let us go. She was so happy.
Can you introduce me to a chimpanzee? I would let you. And I would hang with a chimpanzee, just if you ever get a chance to.
I mean, all the ones that we worked with are, yeah. I mean, if the opportunity arises, sure.
I would love
to
do that.
The ones we worked with are now too old. Because at a certain point, like I said, they're pound for pound is four times as strong as us. So at a certain point, they don't.
What's that point? Do they just keep getting stronger?
Yeah, or they live to be, you know, 50, 60 years old. Yeah,
do they keep getting stronger?
No, they reach the same as a person. You know, they reach a...
Because all those monkeys on TV, they were like 3 years old, you know?
No, less.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they only work until they're probably like 4 or 5.
And then they get 45 years on the preserve?
Yeah.
Wow.
Good life.
Good life. I really did not see that coming, though. Chimpanzees did not see that. Number 7. Question 7.
Have we gone through 7 already?
Yeah. Wow. Well, no. There's 2. There's a couple in there that I don't like. Seem a little invasive. Number 7. Last song you listened to on your iPod. Now this is something that I just want to say about you. You are the most anti-Mac person I have seen. Since the invention of the toaster, like you seem you're very anti-Mac, and that's fascinating to me. And I'm because you're such a nerd that you know the what is it about Mac that upsets you?
The limitations.
I get you.
And also the you know I think they're great for people getting started in areas of that they otherwise wouldn't have opportunity, like you know like you're doing recording and stuff like that, and for designing and those kinds of things, I think it's a great introduction to get people interested. But when it comes down to it, you still have to learn the basics. And Mac create, I feel like, circumvent the basics and let you do the more advanced stuff before you actually learn what you're doing. And I also just don't like the fact that everything on a PC and Windows is all open source. Anybody can create, whereas Mac is very non-compatible.
Yes.
And non...
I know, I totally dig it. But the thing is, if I need to open a drop-down menu, here's the thing. I'm good for opening up a drop-down menu and selecting one thing. If I have to go two or three label menus in, I'm already pissed off.
Yeah, I'm not saying that there's no use for Macs. Yeah. I think they're great. I think, A, they have one of the most brilliant marketing teams out there. And, B, for what they're good for those things. But I...
You don't even have an iPhone, which on a national tour... Which on a national tour is really, it makes you part of Al-Qaeda. Because you're actually running a Palm Pre, right?
Well, I have the newer version. I used to have a Palm Pre.
Oh, the newer version of the Palm.
It's an HP Veer. But do you like it? I love it.
It's called an HPV?
Veer.
HP Veer?
Well, HP bought out Palm.
Yeah.
So instead of Palm, it's HP now.
Okay.
Hewlett-Packard.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And it's a Veer.
See, it's an HP Veer. Yeah. That's an incredibly bad idea for a phone. I don't like.
Well, iPad. It may as well be called iTampon. Come on.
Oh, that's next. They're coming out with it. Already. It's in beta right now. The iTampon.
iPad. That sounded awful to me when it first came out. Anyway.
No, I'm never not going to be able to think about iPad without doing it. The word is taken from me. You've robbed me. Number 8.
Yeah.
Oh wait, what is the last song you've listened to on your iPod? What's the last song you listened to? You can get your Palm Pad out and check it out.
I probably haven't listened to it in a while.
Okay, well, you know, on Pandora or something like that.
Yeah, it was probably like Jason Mraz.
Is that your iPod?
Yeah.
Oh, you got the Nano.
No, it's it's whatever the smallest touchscreen one is.
Yeah, okay, yeah, Nano.
Let's see. Play it.
Just go ahead and play it up into the wherever. If you can find the microphone on this computer, go ahead and play it up into it.
All right. Well, let's see what happens.
Do you know where the microphone is on this, Rob?
No.
Oh, Toby Lightman.
Toby Lightman.
It's not. Well, it doesn't. It's not on speaker. But
oh, you can. Okay.
It's a round and round. Round and round I go. Nobody knows. I say it's like very sort of.
Okay. No, jazzy. I get it. That's cool. That's cool. I'll take your word for it. Toby who?
Toby Lightman.
Toby Lightman. There she's it great. Is. Oh, it's a woman?
Yeah.
I did not see that coming. What scares you?
Oh, automatic bathrooms.
Wow. Okay. This might be my new favorite question. Automatic bathrooms?
I hate automatic bathrooms, like in airports and stuff when everything's automatic.
Have you, like, I hate why?
Because it never works. You end up like at a bidet. When
I hate the bidet. The public toilet bidet thing.
And then you try to wash your hands and it won't turn on, and then it turns on as you're walking away, and then you try to get some soap and then you can't dry your hands. I mean, it's like, come on.
I totally agree. Have you seen the ones where the toilet seat gets covered with a new thing?
Oh, yeah.
That's just crazy. That's unnecessary. But I do.
I mean, what actually scares me. You mean like psychologically, or mean like
childhood? No, I like airport. Right? It's whatever.
I'm still a little bit afraid of the dark sometimes when I'm by myself.
Really?
Yeah, the unknown.
Do you sing in the dark? No, I used to sing a lot.
I leave the TV on.
Oh yeah. But like zombies, you scared of vampires or zombies? I'm not afraid of ghosts. I'm saying it right now. I'll say Bloody Mary into the mirror all day long.
No, I'm not afraid. I mean, I believe.
Use that twice. Don't do it a third time.
I believe in ghosts, but I'm not really afraid, of them necessarily.
You scared of vampires?
No.
I'm scared of zombies.
Are you?
Yeah, zombies. Really? Zombies are my thing.
No, zombies I don't have any, but I'm sure I have, like, I mean, one of my biggest fears in life is probably, like, becoming morbidly obese. No, I'm serious. Like, that's a
fear. Okay, well,
like,
you know,
not able to move and function and have control over my own body.
Well,
that's
you have a semblance of control over that outcome. I'll just say that right there. Yeah. I'm no doctor, but you're okay. You're trim. What has been your favorite city we played so far, and why?
We've played a lot of great places, but I'm gonna give it a little twist. My most unexpectedly favorite city.
Go.
Fayetteville.
Yes. Fayetteville's awesome.
It was awesome.
Fayetteville's a great town. It's a great town.
Great little hippie town. Everything you want is right downtown. They're great bike trails. You can rent a bike for like $5.
I have a total theory as why that is. I have like a whole socioeconomic thing going on why Fayetteville is awesome.
So just so unexpected.
It's Southern Charm, College Town, Walmart.
Yeah.
They've got the Walmart money because that's where everybody lives. And Walmart is the biggest retailer on the planet. So everybody that lives there is being paid well. So there's a lot of money going into that place.
That, yeah. But it's also just, it feels very, it doesn't feel...
College towns are great. Yeah. They have a great energy in them.
It's the college town and the fact that it's very, you know, it's because you're in the South, you don't expect, forgive me for saying that, but because you're in the South, you expect to be bombarded with a lot of Republican conservatism.
Yeah.
But Fayetteville felt very liberal, very sort of hippie, but at the same time, not... You know, it felt like a good balance.
I dig it.
Especially in a place that you weren't expecting it. And all their great little shops.
Yeah.
Great little strip of bars for, you know, right outside the theater.
I was not...
Great weather. I think it was all... It was probably also had a lot to do with that. It was one of the first towns that we got to that finally had nice weather.
It was hot. It was humid. It was southern. Southern heat was happening
there. It was still early, so it
wasn't... Did you ride your bike? Did you go on the bike trails?
Oh, yeah. We rode like 10 miles one day.
Oh, really?
It was great.
I think you're right, Rill, about the charm, though.
Yeah.
And I think that's. I went to one of the great college towns in Ann Arbor in Michigan, and Fayetteville definitely has sort of the people there were different.
Yeah. No. It's got you know it's like a system of checks and balances in the sense that you have the energy and culture and edginess of a college town, but with a southern kind of grounding to it, and then you've got Walmart to pay for it all.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things. That's why it was there was no potholes. There are no potholes in Fayetteville.
Yeah.
Right.
Listen, here we go. Question number 10.
Okay.
It's a serious one.
Oh, gosh.
If you could go back in time and tell your teenage self something, what would it be?
Don't become an actor.
Wow! You are the last four answers just could not have been predicted by anybody. Really?
No, that's not true. That's actually a total lie. I would not trade my theatrical experiences for anything. But
no.
No, I don't know. What would I tell my college self?
Like, but just as a human being, as a woman,
like
as
my
a,
high
you
school
know?
Self.
Yeah.
Something
that it would have been. It something that so preoccupied you at the time. And that looking back on it, maybe it wasn't important, or maybe it was
well,
a better
choice.
Well,
I think that's all it would be, is I would go back in time and tell myself, like...
Stop eating.
It.
This is what you're going to worry about when you're my age.
No, it would be... It ain't that important.
Nice.
Do you know what I mean? I think I just go back. I think I was very high strung.
Yeah.
I think that's how I've changed the most, probably since high school. I was very serious and very high strung and very... Mm-hmm. Studious and
that's why you have the therapy dog now.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, you were very goal oriented, and you weren't missing the journey in pursuit of the destination.
Yeah.
Whoa, that was good.
Yeah.
That was very good.
Yeah.
Every now and then.
Yeah. No, I think I just would, you know, the shit that I stressed about back then.
Mm-hmm.
You just sort of look back and you're like, really, it's not that important.
Yeah. Yeah. And then think about the shit that stresses you now. 20 years hence,
right.
What are you going to be thinking about? You're like,
yeah.
Pretty. I hope to not be worried about anything when I'm dying. I hope
exactly.
That I really can't even think straight. That's my goal.
I think that's a good goal to have. Because at a certain point, you know, the stuff that, I mean, that's also like an actor thing. You go in the room and you obsess over, oh, my hair looks like this. And
horrible.
It's like,
horrible.
When you're on the, because I've actually been switching to the other side of the table a lot, doing directing.
Really?
And now I'm the associate artistic director of a theater company in New York.
Name, get the plug in there. What's the theater company?
The Active Theater.
Very
it's
nice.
www.theactivetheater.com, which
Probably.
I also designed.
Uh-huh.
I've been on staff for a few years, but I just was asked to become the associate artistic director.
That's great. That's a great gig.
I've been going to the other side of the table a lot, and one thing I will tell in all my, you know, whenever I do a master class with young people trying to get into theater is like, it really doesn't, you know, the things that you obsess about when you walk out of an audition room, like, oh, this was a little flat, and this, it's really could not matter less in the room. It's like so,
it's so, so
important.
Out of your control.
Yeah.
There's so much more going on than what you're ever going to know about.
Exactly.
Well, that's actually a good thing.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Yay. Well, that was fun. I think, okay. So, Sarah, thank you for joining me.
Oh, wait, can I end with my favorite quote?
Yes, God.
This is a Henry David Thoreau quote, and it goes with what I was just talking about let it go.
Yeah.
Every path but your own is the path of fate.
Whoa.
Isn't that a great one?
You just blew my mind.
Yeah.
You have any tattoos?
I do. I have two.
Segway. No, but yeah, that's right, because I'm always thinking about it. I always think I'm going to be like the guy in Memento. The only thing I want to tattoo on my body is quotes.
Have you not seen the one on my foot I got in L.A.?
No.
Oh my god.
Shoes are coming off.
Shoes are coming off. This is one of my, this is like, I've been thinking about it for so long, since my grandfather died. I got, it's my, I'm going to stick my foot in your face. Look out.
Oh, it's like Aram, what is that?
It's not Elvish. I know it looks like Elvish.
It totally looks like Elvish. One foot to rule them all.
No, it's.
I'm going to take a picture and I'm going to post it.
Right.
I'll tweet it, actually.
It's actually Armenian. It's my grandfather's name in Armenian.
Your great, what's his name?
Antranik.
What?
Antranik.
Antranik?
Antranik, if you want to Americanize it.
Would I want to?
Well,
would
and you know what it is? The American translation? Andrew.
What? And so we are complete. We have done it.
So technically, I have your name tattooed on my foot.
Oh, you heard that? You hear that, guys? You hear him? You make a girl meow, and she gets your name tattooed on her foot. I've never made you meow.
That's true.
Well, thank you very much for joining me at this late hour, this late date in our time on the tour. And
tomorrow's my last day. Did we say that?
Yeah, we did. Oh. We didn't say tomorrow was the last day, but that's, what are you going to do? What are you going to do for your last thing?
I thought I would do Les Mis.
that's good.
I mean, and we could try Cats, but
where are we going?
I don't think we have the cast for that.
I will give you such mad props if you work a Cats move in.
If I
just as a crazy
showed
whore.
Up in like a fur.
No, the crazy whore. I want to see a little bit of Jellicle Ball out there. So,
all right.
You know, because I was in Cats.
Yeah. Oh, no, you were not.
I was totally in Cats.
Rum Tum Tugger?
No, I was a booth singer. You shut up. Rapson always. Whenever I mentioned I was in Cats, Rapson goes, "You were a booth singer, right?" There's no shame in the booth. Anyway.
You covered. You got on stage.
I did. I got on stage.
Who did you cover?
This is stupid. Deuteronomy and Gus. Thank you so much for coming by. And I'm certain that everything is going to be great.
Yeah.
Because you're leaving on such a high note.
Yeah.
You've been an important person in the cast.
Aw, thank
and,
you.
And, you know, good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right. I have to put bumper music. I'll put bumper music on here. I think I've got like Suf John Stevens because I was doing yoga earlier. Wait. What are you gonna put on?
With my non iPhone.
Yeah. Oh, do it. What do you got? Yeah, go ahead.
Let's see what I got in this play. I'll just put it on random. Let's see what happens.
Oh God. Go.
It's gonna be good. Well, hang on 1 second. Shuffle. Is it gonna be loud? Oh, it's Indigo Girls.
Indigo Girl. Oh my God. After all this talk about small dogs, and I drive a hatchback. Oh, I feel like eating cookie dough all of a sudden. Okay, thanks very much. And we'll, oh, shoot, I got a password protect my computer. All right, everybody. We'll see you soon. Bye. Long ago.